Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Wow, home sweet home. This is the first time I've been to Porto in a very, very long time. What with the last couple of years and whatnot. And it's sunny. So, Tiago, tell me, what does a home match day look like for you at the Dragão?
It's a busy day. The first thing is it's a very busy day, really intense day also. Lots of work, lots of people going by and telling stuff, this is not working, this is working. Regarding our TV show before the match, obviously it's the most important day in the week of FC Porto fan, as it should. And you feel like the intensity growing when the time comes, you know, you understand? If it lags one day for the match, you start feeling different. And when it's a Champions League match like this, for instance, against Milan, it's even you get even more nervous, you know. It's a classic game in the Champions League.
Yeah.
And this season, all the games in this group are classic, like Atletico Madrid or Liverpool. Mm. It's like that. Lots of information from everywhere, and intense. It's intense.
So the atmosphere is obviously way different for a Champions League game. How does that affect the fans, and how does that in turn affect your show, I guess?
Yeah, it affects everyone. Yeah, in fact, because the atmosphere also affects our work. We feel more motivated, maybe. That's not the best word, but I think that you understand what I'm telling
sure.
you. I think that the fans also, it's a dream for everyone to play in the Champions League. It's a dream to win a Champions League. We know what the feeling like, because we won twice. So I think that defense, obviously, defense that don't play, but they feel part of the game, and they really are the part of the game. And if we didn't think that, now after COVID, we understand that they are really part of the game. And so, the atmosphere is quite different. I think that it's a good question. I don't know how to. Even in Portuguese, it's not a matter of English speaking. It's because you really feel different when it's a Champions League game, when it's a Champions League week. Because I think that for me, we start like remembering in the past the games.
Yeah.
People coming from abroad, for instance, I remember when Manchester United played in Porto with Eric Cantona. And it's unbelievable. You get that feeling, you get that memory, and I think that's the same for any fan. Any sport from Porto, they feel like this, and then you think that, okay, we are tonight playing Milan, we played against Liverpool, it's not a good match to remember. Mm-hmm. But even so, knowing that they have Klopp, knowing they have Salah, Mane, and etc. We know that it's very difficult to beat them, and it showed. But it's like, okay, let's see if you are capable. Let's try, and we have nothing to lose. So I think that's the spirit of the match, the day, and the atmosphere, and that's why everyone wants to come and wants to be part of the game.
Well, I guess like the Champions League is special for Porto anyway, because they've won it a couple of times. But of course, the last time they won it with Jose Mourinho was the first season here in the Dragão. They moved from Estádio dos Anjos to here halfway through the season. And that first game here in the Champions League was the one against Manchester United, where Benny McCarthy scored twice. So every night you go in there for a Champions League game, it must feel super special.
Yeah, it is. And the last week, the last part of Estádio dos Anjos was removed.
A little bit.
Yeah. So it's a nostalgic time now also for us. And yeah, that's it. When we changed the stadium, also we got that fantastic year with Mourinho, with Benjamin McCarthy, with Costinha scoring the last minute
we'll remember that one.
Yeah, yeah, in Old Trafford. It's insane, and that's the magic of Champions League. You know, mm-hmm. it's the magic where money is important, obviously, and each year that goes by, more important it is. But you see that you can do it without that much money, like Manchester City, Real Madrid, Barcelona. For instance, Sérgio Conceição in FC Porto has done it in the last years, always not winning the trophy, but always competing against the best teams.
Two quarterfinals in 3 years. That's pretty incredible. And I guess that and 2004 seems more and more incredible as the years go by, because it's kind of difficult to the opportunities are even smaller for teams like FC Porto with great histories, but not the same elite financial level as some of these other teams in Europe now.
It's impossible. If you see and if you try to think about the other classic teams, that they are not full of money. They are not among the biggest teams in the Champions League anymore. You saw Ajax coming back some years ago, but they disappeared for a while, and they are a classic team from Champions League. Porto we achieved that we kept on going to the Champions League. We kept on competing, and sometimes better than others, but always I think. Besides Liverpool, it was really hard to play against Porto. Even Manchester City last year, Chelsea last year also, which with great teams, they were finalists, and one of them obviously won the Champions League.
Well, that gave them the hardest game. They gave Chelsea the hardest game.
The only team that won against Chelsea, the only team that besides Chelsea didn't lose against Manchester City. Yeah. Going to the final, there was the only draw, I think, here in Dragão against Manchester City. Then they lost the final. So it's really hard to keep competing at that level, but Porto tries his best, and also the fans are really important because they ask for that, they demand that, you know, from the team, and the youth players that we are developing, the players that come from abroad, like Luis Dias, that everyone now talks about, and others have to be at that level.
you talked about the fans. How much of a bridge did you provide between the team and the fans during COVID? Because of course there was a long time when they couldn't get in the stadium, and you know, Porto even celebrated a championship in an empty stadium, which must have been a weird feeling. How did you live through that, and how did the fans respond differently to you and the show while that was going on, do you think?
Yeah, it was really, really hard. It was awkward to celebrate a championship and not having any fan, any supporter in the stands. What we tried to do, and like the FC Porto communication part tried to do, it was like to make that bridge, like you told, by social media, having different kind of shows with historical players, getting closer to the team and having the players talk to the fans. And I think that the fans also said that they enjoyed that work that was done by FC Porto.
Did you feel like it was a lot of responsibility for you and your colleagues?
Yes, of course. No doubt about that. Yeah. Because we work hard every time, you know. But in that time, it was like even harder, you know, because everyone was expecting that. Everyone was at home. No one could be in the stadium. No one could be in away games. So we were really the ones that were taking that information, that feeling to the fans. So that was also obviously a big responsibility. And it was really, really a nice time on work-wise, because obviously in the pandemic it wasn't nice, it wasn't anything good. But apart from that, our work was really, really. I feel that, and the fans said also that in that time that it was really important what we were doing, because we're making like that bridge that, like you told, between the fans and the team.
And now the supporters are back. I mean, it's 3 hours before kickoff. We can already see them milling around the stadium. People are excited, all in the strips and their scarves and stuff. What does it feel like to have fans back for a night like this, and what's the feeling for you the moment when you hear that Champions League anthem?
It's amazing. It's hard to describe what the feeling is, because you get to the turf, to the pitch, and you see everyone coming. Obviously everyone is even more motivated to be in the stadium than before, and to get that atmosphere back, the Champions League anthem, the Porto anthem also. It gives you goosebumps. It's unbelievable.
Nicely in the early stages. A few big fouls already. Porto thought they should have had one on Luis Diaz, and Sergio Oliveira lunged into a tackle straight after that, got yellow, all players surrounded the referee. So players getting carried away with the importance of this already, and there is a huge importance to it, because everyone's been saying that Milan have to win this. The Porto only got 1 point for their first two, so it's huge for them as well, especially as they took a real kick in their last game here in front of their own fans against Liverpool. And speaking of kicking, Pepe's just slugged it into the stand. Porto.
So 40th minute, little lull in the game because Wendell's got hurt and he's getting some treatment. He's just left field, as you can hear, while Pepe lines up a free kick. 40 minutes in, Porto have had 9 attempts on goal, Milan none. That's how it's been going so far. I guess you could say Porto haven't worked Tatu Asano quite enough given the opportunities they've had. It's just that little feeling that maybe Milan squirrel away something on the break. A bit like in the first half of that game at Anfield, where they were 1-0 down, getting absolutely battered, and somehow managed to go into the break 2-1 up. But here come Porto again. Oh, that was another good chance. Oh, another great chance, missed by Taremi. Came inside, unchallenged. Kind of dragged the shot with quite a lot of the goal to aim at. They're going to regret missing all these chances. It's quite hard not to think that as the game goes on, still at 0-0. They think it should have been a foul on the edge of the box by Taremi before the ball came out to Diaz, who's trying Matty who put across him in the first place. It's difficult to see. Porto were initially asking, I think, for a penalty for that tangle involving Taremi. It's a really precise finish by Luis Diaz.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Flo Lloyd-Hughes.
I'm Rachel O'Sullivan.
And I'm Chloe Morgan.
Join us every week on our brand new show, Upfront, on Football Ramble Presents. We'll get stuck into the biggest stories in women's football every Tuesday, from the latest in the WSL. Gareth Taylor said, oh, well, actually, we were playing 3-4-3 and we moved to 4-4-3-3. If you look at any of the footage, if you look at the way the players played in that first half, there were four players playing at the back. That sort of comment speaks of a manager who doesn't quite know what they're doing.
To how the Lionesses are shaping up ahead of a home Euros next summer. For me, I would pick Lee Williamson. I would just go for it now. For a younger age captain, you've got some big tournaments coming up. I think a lot of players think she's got a really great mentality, gets on with a lot of people. For me, she's a born leader, and I think she will be England captain at some point.
And what it's really like being a player in women's football today.
From my own experiences of being in a situation like that, I mean, you know, when we got promoted when I was with Spurs, that was phenomenal. I was, you know, first choice keeper. You know, then you go into the WSL for our first season and all I wanted to do was get WSL experience.
Join us every Tuesday for Upfront. Search Football Ramble Presents in your podcast app. Subscribe now.
Football Ramble Presents is a Stack production.
That's all the people outside the stadium waiting to get in while they do COVID pass, vaccination checks, all that sort of stuff. I mean, Luge is hot even when it's like half full. And yeah, I think they're feeling it tonight. Now, the Estadio de Luge is filling up. They've got the little trolley, like lectern trolley on with the club crest, which is where the eagle lands. They fly the eagle before the start of the game, and then the trick is he lands on the lectern, and that's what gets everything under, like lectern, shelf. Anyway, the eagle lands, so you can go, the eagle has landed afterwards. Oh, here she comes. Man or woman. Some extra swoops. Just coming into land now. Yeah, not Benfica without it. From Lewandowski. Yeah, Bayern keep getting down that Benfica right side.
Yeah, it's just a straight ball upfield, but it's a Koeman there. Hooked onto pace.
Yeah, they need some cover over there, don't they? Yeah. Benfica. Been out with injury for ages, and then you come back into a game like this.
Yeah, I know. It's only, I think it's his first start cup game of the weekend.
Yeah. Sané doing his defensive doggies there. And getting stripped by Otamendi. Oh, there goes Darwin. Oh, he's taking it a bit wide. Oh! What a save by Neuer. Darwin looked as if he'd taken it well wide and then came back inside. He's just so strong.
curled it towards the far post. It was a brilliant save by Neuer. Lewandowski. Cross by Coman has now switched over to the other side. And one of the Benfica players, I think it's Diogo Gonçalves, is asking for a handball. Well, the referee's getting spoken to. Like a goal.
Decent first half. That atmosphere, isn't it nice to have it back?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just a different thing, isn't it? I tell you, Andy, I came here to see a couple of the derbies last season.
Yeah.
And it was just so strange. It was like, I don't know, it's like watching a football match in a cemetery or something. It was just absolutely, it just didn't seem right. You know, this magnificent theatre, this magnificent stadium. And the loudest thing you could hear was the radio commentators down there.
And they are pretty loud. Yeah. But, I mean, it's weird. I was talking to someone about this yesterday. You go through all those same things that you do on the way to a game. Like, you know, you take the same walk or the same metro trip or whatever. And then the minute the whistle goes, it's just... It all feels a bit pointless, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it seems almost... And also, you can hear the players as well sometimes if the radio commentator's quieting it down for a while.
I think that's a Portuguese particular problem.
But you can hear the players, which is quite amazing. You know, sometimes it just, you kind of have to pinch yourself that it's not a game in the park, and you realise that, you know, this is just, normally there'd be 50,000 people watching this, but yeah, it's just nothing like a big stadium like this full for a big match like this.
You know, I was just thinking. But the last time we saw each other in the flesh, Bruno Fernandes scored the winner for Sporting against Benfica.
Ah, yeah.
That's how long it's been.
Great memories. Yeah, that was. God, it's a long time ago, isn't it?
Although I suppose he has come a long way in a short time at Manchester United. But what about Benfica in that time? Because in that time, Jorge Jesus has come back to Benfica. They spent an absolutely eye-watering amount on players, and that's without... thinking about the contracts given to, say, Jan Vertonghen, who came on a free. Because of the truncated format of the Champions League last season, he went, well, I really want to do something in the Champions League. One match in, they were out to Pauk. So how was last season for him? Because he could do nothing wrong in his first spell at the club. And in his second spell, he started with spending a stack on players, getting knocked out of the Champions League instantly, and not winning a league title that they were absolutely nailed on for.
Yeah, I suppose unmitigated disaster is pretty much the only way the only way you can describe Benfica's last season. Because like you said, you know, there were odds on to win the league. Jorge Jesus had come back, you know, Porto weren't looking particularly strong, Sporting were in a complete mess, you know, rebuilding as usual from zero. And so, yeah, spending all that money, Jorge Jesus just seemed like the ingredients were there for Benfica just to run away with the league. And you know, people were talking about actually making an impression in Europe and everything, but of course that first result was so important, because of course that led almost certainly to the departure of Ruben Dias, who they had to sell.
Yeah,
and that unsettled them. And then they actually started the league quite well. I think they won the first five or six matches. You know, people again thought, okay, out of Champions League, but you know, they should win the league. And then they just lost really unexpectedly 3-0, I think, to Boavista. They lost at home to Braga. I can't remember which of those games were first, but they're in pretty much quick succession, and then never recovered. And then, of course, Benfica, kind of the official line is that they were decimated by COVID, but of course all the clubs had to deal with that. But it is, I suppose, to be fair, they were particularly badly hit. I think at one stage they had about 15 players out or something, 10 or 15 players, and the opposition, I can't remember if it was Nacional or someone, they refused to to delay the game. And so they just went through a spell, and they have about, say, 2 or 3 months when just everything that could go wrong did go wrong, and never recovered.
So did he stay because it was too expensive to fire him? and because it would have reflected badly on now former president Luis Felipe Vieira.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And he, of course, the elections, the presidential elections, the last presidential elections before the ones which have just taken place, just about a year ago in October, I think. So, you know, the season had just started, and it was actually just after that spell when Benfica had started the league quite well. And so, you know, that was kind of the... People say that Vieira brought in Jorge Jesus to save him. Jorge Jesus said, you know, people thought that Vieira would save Jorge Jesus when he was possibly looking at the sack. So they really needed each other. But yeah, they'd offered him a big amount of money, because also, you know, sacking Jorge Jesus then, would a new person coming in really been able to do much?
Yeah.
You know, apart from season, it's pretty debatable. So I think even most Benfica fans, quite a few of them who don't particularly like Jorge Jesus, of course, especially for the way he left the club, I think they were happy to, you know, to give him another season and see if he can put it right.
So, Jorge Jesus, in a way, he's kind of like a Portuguese Antonio Conte, in which you can't really argue with his achievements domestically. He's never quite done it in the Champions League. How big was the win over Barcelona at the Luge for him? Because I understand that Barcelona aren't Guardiola Barcelona or even Luis Enrique Barcelona. They're still Barcelona, and that was a huge thing for Benfica. How big was it for him?
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, he doesn't need, Jorge just doesn't need much excuse to remind people of what a brilliant coach he is. You can imagine what he was like at the end of that game, you know, describing
around the top of the stadium.
Yeah, yeah, he is. But, you know, he is a great manager. I think he is a great manager, but he, you know, like I say, he's very entertaining as well, because he's just got, you know, this very high opinion of himself that he makes sure that everyone else, you know, he wants to get everyone to share that opinion as well. But yeah, it was, yeah, no doubt about it, really important. And they've done, you know, they've looked really good this season. Benfica, I think, like I just mentioned before, the three big Portuguese clubs, there's been much less turnaround than there normally is. Almost every season in Portugal, you know, the biggest clubs, three big clubs, you're looking at 7, 8, 9 players in, 7, 8, 9 players out. Mm. But that hasn't happened at all this season. So, of course, these players at Benfica have had a year with Jorge Jesus. They know his ideas, he knows them better. And the team's just starting to click. And they're looking good this season. They are looking really strong. But you know, it's interesting because, like I said, last season they looked like runaway favourites for the league. This season, I think it's going to be quite close.
Just to be clear, the fans aren't disagreeing with your opinion. Bayern have just come out for the second half. So we probably better leave it there.
Can't give George just a word of praise, can you?
The people have spoken. Oh. Another great save by Odiseas, but Müller's tucked in the rebound after he's saved from Lewandowski. He's shouting for offside, but I don't think they're going to get a save this time. More Coma on the left wing. It's just, this really is his place. He's having a great old time here. A mazy dribble. And Vekulimos, quite defiantly, has not gone and got the ball back. It's still sitting about in the 6-yard box, isn't it? Oh, it's the slide again! I suppose the next best thing to scoring a goal now is the other team having one chalked off. 2-0 to Benfica in that sense. So Bayern have just brought on Gnabry for Pavard in what can only be described as an absolute power flex. So Bayern have sort of gone to three at the back. They give them a platform to really go for it. Oh, what a goal that is. Zaha has absolutely clapped that, hasn't he? Gnabry got around the back, didn't he? And flicked it in. Maybe it did come off Everton. Yeah. Oh, it's another one. It's all unravelling a little bit now. And Lewandowski's got his goal from super close in. Getting the goals, a bit like on Bayern on Saturday, they're getting the goals now that match their play earlier in the half. In Germany, you see, we've got 2 minutes of stoppage time here. If one team's getting absolutely whacked in the Bundesliga, like that, if there's 5 minutes of stoppage time left, they'll blow up with like 90 minutes and 1 second.
Okay.
Just to like let them off.
Yeah.
But yeah, we're going to get our full 2 minutes here, aren't we?
Yeah.
In the Champions League context. All you can do is applaud Benfica for the effort, because they weren't terrible by any stretch of the imagination, and Bayern for just being Bayern.
Production and part of the Acast Creative Network.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.